I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew, chapter 5. I'm going to move very quickly this morning through our scripture text and our message this morning. I want to begin with an experience that I had last Friday. It was my privilege to represent Bob Jones University at the inauguration of the new president at the Citadel in Charleston, South Carolina, the military college. And their new president is their 20th president. He's a four-star Marine Corps general. He was assistant commandant of the Marines, which means he was the number two man in the Marine Corps. He was also a freshman my sophomore year when I was a cadet at the Citadel. And so it was a great event, really enjoyed it. And afterwards, they had a big parade. And after the parade, there was also another former president of the Citadel that was there, Major General John Grinnells. He was a two-star Marine Corps general. He was the president there. He was also the man who led Oliver North to Jesus Christ when he was a captain and Oliver North was a lieutenant in the Marines. So afterwards, I was talking to him, and of course, he knew that I was the president here at Bob Jones University. He said, I have a story to tell you. He said, a number of years ago, I was working with a ministry out of Washington, D.C. that supported national workers in foreign countries. And he said there was a man who was from Delhi, India, who was a part of that ministry. He worked with abandoned children. So he said that there was this gentleman who had been converted to Christ, who was working in India. And a very interesting story. He said that the man was in a bus accident. He was a Hindu man. He was in a bus accident, and he was the sole survivor. And after that, he became a Christian. And after he became a Christian, he wanted to change his name because he was a Hindu, and his Hindu name was a Hindu god. And because he became a believer, his new life, he wanted a new name. It's like Daniel's name being changed to Belteshazzar, and we understand the way that it works. And so as a believer, he wanted a new name, but he was not sure what to call himself. And when Major General Grinnells met him, he found out that his name was Moody Bob Jones. And the reason why he named himself that is because he had enrolled as a student in Bible correspondence courses with Moody Bible Institute and Bob Jones University. So his name was Moody Bob Jones. I couldn't help, of course, but laugh. But understand something, that when a person's heart is changed by the power of God, he wants his life to be different. When you see God for who he is, there's such an effect within your own heart that your desires change and you really want to please and honor God. In Matthew chapter 5 this morning, Jesus is giving his sermon on the attitudes of a Christian. Because a Christian is defined not just by what he does, but his attitude, his spirit, the way he communicates himself. And in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, he describes the character and the spirit of a Christian in this way. He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Our founder, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., said it this way. This is the most profound statement ever uttered. There's never been a statement in all literature, as far as I know, that has such depth of meaning, and yet every word except one is a monosyllable. Someone said, simplicity is truth's most becoming garb. Truth is clothed best in simple words, and how simply Jesus spoke. Hear he, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he who is accustomed to the streets of gold and the gates of pearl, to jasper walls, to crystal fountains, and a heavenly choir, is sitting on a mountainside he created, and in a direct statement pronounces with beautiful simplicity the greatest philosophical statement ever uttered. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How many of you like to drink pure water? How many of you like to breathe pure air? How many of you are suffering because of the pollen that is in the air? Would you raise your hand? Yeah, it's going crazy. I love clean things. I like a clean house. I like clean sheets. I like clean clothes that are brought home from the cleaners. But how about a clean heart? How do you like the idea that for you to see God depends on your heart being pure? I'm so glad the Bible doesn't say, "Blessed are the Baptists, for they shall see God." That would have shut my whole family out of heaven because I didn't grow up in a Baptist family. Aren't you glad that the Bible doesn't say, "Blessed are the Presbyterians, for they shall see God," because for the bulk of you sitting here, that would cut you out of heaven. God is no respecter of religious denominations. Anybody can have a pure heart who wants it. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So what can we draw out of this so important text? First of all, the question is this: how is it then would our heart be made pure? If he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart," then how is your heart made pure? In the book of Proverbs, we read, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." What does it mean to think in your heart? Well, it's the thinking you do when you don't try to think. How many of you like days where you sort of chill out, veg, become somewhat mindless? For some of you, that's a lot of time. What does it mean to think in your heart? It's the thinking that just comes out of your heart. So the Bible tells us that we have thoughts that come out. And this proverb is saying that what we think actually shows what we are. May I ask you this morning, what kind of thoughts come out of your heart? Jesus said in Mark 7:21, from within out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. What's the source of all evil in the world? Evil is not out there. Evil is in here and it comes out of us. If evil thoughts come out of your heart, what does that say about your heart? Jeremiah tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Sinful thoughts are the fruit of an evil heart. For example, you're not a liar because you tell a lie. You tell a lie because you're a liar. Lying is not out there. Lying is inside here. You are what you think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, if that's the way you think, then what does your heart need? A man came to Jesus by night named Nicodemus. He acknowledged Jesus as a teacher who came down from heaven. He respected him. But what did Jesus say to him? He says, "You have to be born again. You can't see God's kingdom as you are. When you are born again, then you will be able to see the kingdom of God. And if you can see the kingdom, you'll be able to see the King." Jesus was saying that you need a new heart. You can't see God without a heart operation. May I ask you a question this morning? Have you had a heart operation? Have you experienced the new birth? You can't see God on your own. God has to reveal himself to you. He has to come and change your heart through the new birth. You quoted it this morning, the new birth through the regeneration by the Holy Spirit. God comes and he washes your heart and he cleanses you through the blood of Jesus Christ and he gives you a new heart. That's what he's talking about. Your heart is not made pure, not because you make it pure, but he makes it pure through the blood of his own son. Do you have a clean heart this morning? I ask that of all teenagers in this building. I ask that of all in the student body of Bob Jones University, because I am convinced that we have numbers of students at Bob Jones University who have been here the whole time and your heart has not been made pure and clean. Why? Because it's manifested in what comes out. That leads me to a second question, and that is, what happens when your heart is made pure? Well, what does the Bible say? "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." When God enthrones your heart, you're able to see the Lord. And when you see the Lord, what happens? You start to become like him. I have preached in hundreds and hundreds of pulpits, and often I've preached in a church. Well, they'll have a little placard up on the pulpit, and it is a quote from the 12th chapter of the book of John, verse 21, that says, "Sir, we would see Jesus." The preaching of Jesus is the kind of preaching that changes people, because the pure in heart become Jesus-like by seeing Jesus. Is that not what happened to Moses on the Mount of Sinai when he went into the presence of the Lord? And as he was in the Lord's presence, what happened to his face? His face changed. It began to glow like the sun. And Paul takes the idea of the glowing face of Moses and he explains how God changes us as Christians. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Do you know what, folks? You can't change yourself, but if you see Jesus, then you will change. So where do we see the glory of the Lord? It is in the face of Jesus Christ. And where do we see Jesus practically today? Well, if Jesus is the Word, according to John 1 and verse 1, then we see Jesus in His Word. We read the Bible, and as we read the Bible with the working of the Holy Spirit, then God begins to work in our hearts as we see the Lord, and He changes us into His likeness and into His character. We're like caterpillars going into a cocoon and going through a process of transformation, a metamorphosis, becoming a different person. I say this, if you've been a student at Bob Jones University for 4 years and there's been no change in your life, you really need to ask yourself the question, do you really know the Lord? My oldest son, Stephen, graduated from here in 2014. In his first year here, he said to me, Dad, he said, God is everywhere on the campus of Bob Jones University if you want to see Him. That's what happens in our life. God allows us to see Him through a changed heart and through an open Bible, and He reveals Himself to us. I remember many, many, many mornings as a cadet in a secular college waking up and seeing Jesus as I opened my Bible and had my devotions in the morning and read the Bible and met with the Lord. And yet you can go through a Bible college, you can go through a Christian college, you can go through a Christian school and be around Christ all the time and yet really never get close. Because your heart needs to be made pure through the blood of Jesus, and you need to see Him by the power of the Spirit through His Word. And that leads me to the last point I want to make, and that is then how do you cultivate this? How do you cultivate a mind that sees God? Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said you can be saved in a moment, but it takes a lifetime to build strong character and to change. If you're going to have a character that reflects Christ and is able to stand the storms of life and the test of years, you have to give attention in your life to developing a strong character through cultivating right thinking. Strong character comes out of having a consistently right thoughts. Perhaps you've heard this little, almost like a poem that's so true. If you sow a thought, you reap an action. If you sow an action, you reap a habit. If you sow a habit, you reap a character. If you sow a character, you reap a destiny. Your future destiny is dependent upon the present thoughts that you're thinking today. An old country preacher made an important statement one day. He was talking about your mind. It's simple, but it's quite profound. He said, the human mind is somewhat like a piece of blank paper. If a mark is made with a lead pencil on a piece of blank paper, the mark is there to stay. What has been written can be erased, but the imprint of the pencil remains on the paper. That's the way it is with the human mind. Impressions are made to stay. If you've been brought up in a godly home, a praying family with a good pastor where you learned the Bible, attended Sunday school and was raised in a decent atmosphere, even if you go away from the Lord in a life of sin and you ruin your life, you still will find lingering in your mind the impressions of your childhood. And holy impressions are made to stay. And likewise, the same thing is true if you're brought up under evil influences. You grow up in a home filled with alcohol, fighting, and cursing, and bitterness. You never hear the name of Jesus. There's a family failure of divorce and abuse. But by the grace of God, you get saved, you change. You become even a leader for the Lord. But those early impressions don't go away. Those thoughts that walked across your brain leave footprints that can never fully be erased. I believe that's why many Christians have mental struggles after they're saved, because they still struggle with the things that are in their mind. I thank God that I was saved at the age of 19 years old. but I still have plenty of memories and scars from the sins that I committed before my conversion. I broke my ankle when I was 19 years old. That was 44 years ago. If I took off my shoes and socks this morning, you could still see the scars on my ankles. So tell me, what is it right now that you're building in your thoughts in your life? God can change you. God can overcome and give you victory, but you have to be intentional about the way that you are thinking. Sadly, today, there are many young people who graduate from high school, and at the same time, they feel like they've graduated from church. Fact is, your actions are a reflection of what you've been thinking all along. If you graduate from church in the 12th grade, it means you were planning on that for a long time. You are what you think. You will be tomorrow what you're thinking today. Show me the books you read. Show me the people that you befriend. Tell me about the music you love and the TV shows and the movies that you watch. And I can tell you the kind of person that you are. Right thinking is foundational for good character. And if this is true, then you need to give attention to right thinking. So I ask you this morning, what are your thoughts like? All of us have evil thoughts. All of us do. The question is not, do you have evil thoughts? The question are, what are you doing to purify your mind and your thoughts to deliver you from evil? You say, preacher, how can I do that? What is the best way for that? My heart's been made pure through salvation, but what is it that I need to have in my mind all the time? In just 10 days from today will be Easter Sunday. Next week here at Bob Jones University in our chapel services, we have called it Passion Week. The reason why is because we're going to march up to Resurrection Sunday by studying in chapel the events that led up to Jesus' crucifixion. I must be honest with you. I'm going to say that I'm doing this for personal reasons. Last year, we came into Easter Sunday on a dead run. And I'll be honest with you, I woke up on Easter Sunday morning and I really was not mentally prepared because of the busyness of the week. And I thought, I don't want to go through another week like that, so I want to cultivate my thoughts. So I decided last year we're going to do something different this year. So starting Monday, we're going to think about Jesus. We're going to look at Jesus at his Last Supper. We're going to look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. We're going to look at Jesus when he's arrested and standing trial and Peter denies him. We're going to look at Jesus hanging on the cross. Why? Because I've learned that if you see Jesus, he's going to change you. And the reason I know this is true is because 44 years ago as a freshman in college on Easter Sunday, 1975, I was driving home from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It was spring break weekend. My heart was empty. My life was really miserable. I turned on the radio that morning. I would have listened to the local beach tunes, but I decided to listen to a church service. As I listened to the preacher over the radio, his message was really quite simple. And he talked about my sin. Fact is, I thought somebody had tipped him off. I was driving down the highway because he preached on all the sins I'd committed in the last 3 days. And then like a painter taking the canvas of my mind, he painted the portrait of the crucifixion of Jesus. I could see Jesus in my mind's eye. And God gave me a vision that morning of Jesus, and I've never lost it. Sadly, at times it's been dimmed for various reasons, whether it's personal sin or just not being mindless and not thinking. But I've learned something. The greatest way for somebody to change is to have Jesus in their view. That's what changes me, keeping Christ in my mind, in my life, and that's what will change your life. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Nobody can force you to do this, but it's your responsibility. What you think is your responsibility. May God grant you the grace to see Jesus. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you love us. Lord, thank you that you're so patient with us. Thank you that you forgive us. Thank you that the blood of Jesus today is as powerful today as it was when it was shed on the cross 2,000 years ago. Thank you that the resurrection power of Jesus that brought him up from the dead through the power of the Holy Spirit is available to all who have been born again and that, Lord, we can see you and change. And Lord, help us to love you and serve you more. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day.